accomplished. We talked about winning a division. We talked about getting the first round bye, winning a playoff game to get into the conference championship, winning the conference championship to get to the Super Bowl. We've been checking things off, and make no mistake about it, got a lot of respect for the Patriots, but we're going there to get this last check.
Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team.
I'm counting my bullets, I'm loading my clips, I'm writing down names, I'm making a list, I'm checking it twice and I'm getting them hit. The real ones been dying, the fake ones is lit, the game is off balance, I'm back on my shit, the Bentley is dirty, my sneakers are
Rams dirty. Nation! What's happening, what's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. Welcome in, everybody. Glad you can join us again. That was Sean McVay who introed us into the show. That was his speech at the Rams send-off the other day out at their new stadium in Inglewood. As for today, the Rams are in Atlanta. They have landed. They are down at Media Day. I'm recording this about 6:30 Pacific time. So the Rams already had their media opportunity, and the New England Patriots are now up there. This isn't the Media Day of years past where there was a lot of awesome comments and maybe a little trash talk. We'll see how some of these videos that come through, because obviously a lot of the main coverage through NFL Network, ESPN, all the big players. But you sometimes get a fun quote through some of these other media outlets. So we'll see how it kind of develops over the next couple of days. But so far, a lot of lovey-dovey stuff, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Before we get off and running, I want to welcome everyone in, say thank you for coming and listening. Super Bowl week, it is here. It is exciting. Guys, make sure to reach out to us on our Google Voice number. Send a question in as we've got our crossover show tomorrow. We've got Vinny Bonsignor. We've got Serena Morales all coming up later this week. So 657-345-4988. Also, out the gate, I kind of mentioned this later, but we are doing our giveaway for our LA Rams playoff towel, One House, One Dream. All you have to do is I have now put up a feed on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. A little thread. All you have to do is enter your prediction for the Super Bowl score. I know we're going to get a lot of Rams winning as far as the score goes. So if that isn't the case, and I know there's one person out there already blowing up my Facebook feed, Mr. Drew Motter, my own family taking the Patriots in this one. But if it goes that route, I'm going to take the next best thing, which is overall score. So there will be a winner, no matter win or lose, there will be a winner. So I'm going to take the first person closest to the overall score, or if you nail the score right on the head, you're the winner right there. So we've got multiple areas you can go find that. We are at Locked On Rams on all accounts, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Facebook group. Join in. Join on the discussion, go back and forth. We got some amazing people on there putting up awesome content throughout the week, and then just kind of debating back topics as we kind of get closer to the game. Couple other things before we get off and running here. Guys, remember Tom's Urban. We're going to be down there on Sunday. Awesome package for you guys. It's $100. Scratch that. We are now getting an exclusive deal strictly to just a few podcasts here in the LA area. So if you listen to a few others, you might hear this Tom's Urban plug, but you're getting $20 off. It's an all-you-can-drink, all-you-can-eat package for 3 hours for $80. Are you kidding me? If you go anywhere else in the city and you hang out, by halftime, your tab will be over $80. So come check it out. Tom's Urban, downtown LA. All you have to do is head to the link, tomsurban.com/lockedon. All you have to do is go to that page. They'll tell you some of the details there. Fill out your Big Game Bash registration, and then they're going to have their event coordinator, Joanna, call everyone to confirm. That's when you tell them that you found this on Locked On Rams to get your discount. Again, $80, all you can drink and eat. It's going to be awesome. We hope we get a lot of fans down there, and a lot of you guys that listen to the show. It'd be awesome to kind of meet you guys down there as well. Well, with all that out of the way, let's talk some football. And we've got an awesome conversation with Matt Williamson that I'm going to kick over to here in a few minutes. But I want to talk about this media day. I took some notes. I was kind of watching it. And I said it earlier, it wasn't the media days of old when you thought something might come out, some fun, you know, maybe a Marshawn Lynch. I'm just here so I won't get fined. You know, that was a good one. Something to come out of this with a little bit of spark for the week to kind of live off of. But that's not the case. Both teams did a good job of very high-level answers. Jared Goff, I think, was described as a couple posts I saw online, again, as being pretty boring with his one-word answers and not giving a lot to the media. Even at one point, someone in the media said, "Do you have any questions for us?" Sean McVay was, of course, one of the first ones to be addressed. Nate Burleson of the NFL Network had a couple questions for him and then even made an interference joke, which Sean McVay kind of leaned away from and kind of shook his head like, you know, we're over that, dude. But he represented well, and obviously the very cliche answers from McVay. Just proud to be here, excited to play against a team with so much tradition and blah, 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 blah. Talked about the text messages that he has gotten from Bill Belichick earlier this season. He kind of said that was overblown, that it's been a story that's kind of picked up in the last week, but he said it was, you know, a couple back and forth and that he was more honored and respected that, you know, a guy of his level would take out a time of his day during a season and kind of congratulate him on a win. So he was then asked about that again as the two coaches met on the stage. And again, McVay almost looked embarrassed. Like, why are we talking about our text messages in front of everybody? It was probably an offhand comment he had said to a reporter when the story was being written. And all of a sudden, here he is on the biggest stage being asked right next to the guy about, hey, you know that private conversation, that text that you ended up sharing? You could tell he was a little embarrassed. But again, both those guys kind of have a similar aspect with the media. Obviously, McVay a little bit more personable, but very dry answers from those two. Todd Gurley, when he was asked about kind of the CJ Anderson role, and, you know, he didn't have a very productive game coming into this. And, you know, one of the things that he said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he said he's embracing CJ. He's loving him being around. He's really big into the team game and whatever it takes to get the W, things that he said before. But again, biggest stage, there's an opportunity there to say, I need the ball more, or, you know, he's good, but, you know, I'm the number one guy for a reason. And he doesn't. He continues to go the high class route. You know, we just looking for a win. I believe it was Michael Irvin who was interviewing him, and he kind of went and wanted a little bit more. And he said, you know, are you going to need more touches than four carries? And again, trying to set up Todd Gurley for going into a little bit more detail here. And he said, you know, I'm just going with the flow. If that is my part in this game to go in and get more carries, then I'm certainly ready. He said he's healthy. The injury thing is over in as far as his mind goes, so he's going to be coming out full steam. Irving mentioned how earlier he overheard Todd Gurley saying he only wears 100,000, nothing under 100,000 over on his neck for a primetime experience. And he kind of confirmed that, about 100 grand around his neck while he was walking around doing his interviews. Lots of bling going around. Aqib Talib later took credit for that and said, did you notice a lot of these guys' jewelry game has stepped up since I've come into the picture? So kind of funny these guys are having a good time and kind of joking. A lot of really light, relaxed faces, big smiles. Guys really, you know, enjoying the moment. You saw a lot of the guys with the cameras out. If you go on Instagram, follow some of their stories and live Instagram feeds, there's a lot of good stuff coming out of that. And then Nickell Roby-Coleman, one of the big things, the storylines, obviously the pass interference. He had made a comment the other day about Tom Brady getting old and, you know, being on the elderly side compared to when he first saw him. I was really proud of him holding his ground. He stepped back off those comments when given an opportunity. He said, hey man, someone was kind of asking us, what's the difference between when I paid him back in the day when I was with Buffalo versus today? He said the only thing that's different is his age. He's like, I didn't mean it in any disrespect. That guy's the GOAT. I understand. He's been here 9 times. Gave him a bunch of praises for that opportunity. And then they asked him again about that pass interference call. And he basically said, I don't make the calls. The call was made. You got to respect the call. And, you know, we're here and we're going to enjoy this moment. So big ups to Nickell Roby-Coleman for standing his ground, giving some good answers, not backing up, not stuttering, not being nervous about what he was going to say. Knew the game plan coming in and stuck to it. And then before we kick over, one of the better parts is they brought the two coaches, the two team captains up there. They sat him down. It was Brady and Goff, Aqib Talib and McCourty on the other side, and they kind of went back and forth with some questions. We heard that Aqib actually, when he first got to New England, tried out at a wide receiver position. Bill Belichick, after practice, said, hey, why don't you go and throw a couple of passes with Brady? Aqib talked about how he's really excited, thinking, maybe this is my moment to have a little package developed. It never came to fruition, but Brady had some high praise of him. And that's what I mean when I kind of go back to these guys complimenting each other back and forth, you know, kind of praising each other and really kind of saying, this is the best team we're going to face all year and that type of stuff and the answers. But there was one pretty funny moment when they started that interview on the stage with Tom Brady and Jared Goff and Tlaib and McCourty. And they said, you know, Tom, you've been here. It wasn't, you know, 17 years ago where you were sitting where Jared was, the first Super Bowl for you, very young. Any advice you can give for him? Here was his response.
What sort of advice would you give this guy as he gets ready to take on the big bad Patriots?
I'm not giving him any advice. Crazy.
I mean, I could have told you right there, that was a softball setup for that answer. Tom Brady ain't helping nobody, especially on another team. I would hope that if that question was tossed to Jared Goff, either today or in the future, that he would have a very similar answer. This is, we're playing for the Super Bowl, man. I thought it was a pretty funny intro. And then also, opening question, Tom Brady handled it really well. Not talking trash, but a kind of making a joke and being, you know, Tom Brady that we've known over the years. Really good with the media and also kind of quick on his feet. So Jared Goff, again, really big smiles, did well up there in his interview and his time when he had. This is just the beginning. Monday, Tuesday as you're listening, but man, media week, it's cracked off, it's open. We'll see if these guys can slide through the rest of the week clean without saying anything else. The Rams looked like they really enjoyed the experience throughout the day, which is awesome. You want to stay light. You want to, you know, you always hear about staying in the routine and those type of things and enjoying the moment while you're there. They seem to really get that right today. It's tough to obviously break this down. It's just a bunch of cameras and, you know, people sticking mics in your face and asking you questions, but all good coming out of media day. But with that, as I mentioned earlier, I had a conversation earlier today with Matt Williamson. He is the host of Locked On NFL. We talk about it on the show. Go check him out. But he's here today. So I'm going to pitch that interview. We're going to step aside, get a couple words from some sponsors. We'll be back on the other side. Bear Motter, Matt Williamson, Locked On Rams Tuesday right after this. Bullets, I'm loading my clips, I'm writing down names, I'm making a list, I'm checking it twice and I'm getting them hit. The real ones been dying, the fake ones is lit, the game is off balance, I'm back on my shit, the Bentley is dirty, my sneakers is dirty. Alright guys, before we get to our other segment, want to talk to you about Lokai. I'm a huge supporter of them, and Lokai has got your back when you're looking for that little extra swag on game day. If you haven't heard of the name before, well, now you have. This company is awesome. As I mentioned, me personally, I've been rocking their bracelet for years now, and especially their game day series, which I'm talking to you about now, comes in Rams colors. I've been rocking that the whole season. It's a bracelet that looks cool, got an awesome message, and supports incredible causes. The Lokai bracelet comes in Rams colors, holds water from Mount Everest, the highest place on Earth, and mud from the Dead Sea, the lowest place on Earth, all in the same bracelet. And it's a daily reminder for us to stay balanced in the highs and lows in life. Perfect example, perfect bracelet for this season for the Rams. And since Lokai is friends of the show, they're offering you an exclusive discount, 25% off the game day collection. Trust me, guys, that's the best deal I've seen they've given out. Also, another little fun incentive we're doing here. If you buy the Lokai bracelet, all you have to do is DM me in any of our social accounts, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, email me. Show me a proof of purchase from their website, just screenshot it, and you'll be entered to win a Rams NFC playoff shirt or a Rams Super Bowl shirt, depending on how Sunday plays out. But you gotta send me that DM of the slip showing that you bought the bracelet. Remember, go to lokai.com, that's L-O-K-A-I.com. Use the promo code RAMS25. So after the discount, that makes it like $17 plus shipping. You got to check it out. Remember, also, it enters you to win an NFC Championship or Super Bowl t-shirt from the Rams. So if you win, you're walking away with a Rams bracelet and a Rams shirt. Can't go wrong. Check it out, lokai.com. Promo code RAMS25. I'm counting my bullets, I'm loading my clips, I'm writing down names, I'm making a list, I'm checking it twice and I'm getting them hit. The real one's been down. All right, Ram fans, while we're talking awesome deals right now, we mentioned it earlier in the show, but Tom's Urban Downtown LA is hooking it up. Go to tomsurban.com/lockedon and you're going to be brought to the deal of the century when it comes to the Super Bowl. It's open bar, open buffet, all you can eat, all you can drink for three quarters. And because you are a listener of the show, you're getting $20 off that price. So what originally is $100 now is $80 a person. $80 a person for a Super Bowl? All you can eat, all you can drink. That deal right there alone should solidify what you're doing on Sunday. Come down and join us, Tom's Urban, downtown LA. It's literally right across from the Staples Center. Free Super Bowl squares with great prizes. So they're going to be doing some fun things along the way. They can host big parties as well. So book this today. You'll get VIP seating. All you have to do is go to the website, tomsurban.com/lockedon. You sign up there. Their booking host will contact you to get further details. Make sure at that point to mention you heard this on Locked On Rams. They will then apply your discount. They've got it all for the big game, so make sure you are there. Again, $80 for the whole day. I'm going to rack up that bill in the first quarter. So come join me down at Tom's Urban, downtown LA. Again, that's tomsurban.com/lockedon. Make sure to let them know you heard it here on Locked On Rams. It won't be for clout. It won't be for fame. It won't because my shit ain't selling the same. It won't be to sell you my latest little sneakers. It won't be because some niggas slid in my lane. Everything grows. It's destined to change. I love you little niggas. I'm glad that you came. I hope that you scrape everything. All right, Rams Nation, we are back again. This is the Tuesday edition, Locked On Rams. We've got an awesome guest with us today. Matt Williamson of Locked On NFL is joining us. If you haven't checked out his podcast, you got to go do that now. It's on the Locked On Network, covers all NFL topics. It's a great podcast. He has amazing weekly guests as well. Matt, how you doing today?
I am great. How are you? It's Super Bowl week, brother. How are you? I bet you're pretty wound up.
Yeah, pretty wound up is an understatement. Last week was painful. This week is now just the anxiety and the angst really starting to kick in. And obviously, we've had some media day that I covered in the first segment that we're going to talk about. But everyone is getting down and they are getting ready for the big game. And it's only a few days away, which is super exciting. And I think I just want to come right out the gate and talk to you. What do you think the biggest storyline for you coming into this? Because there's a lot, right? There's Tom Brady versus the secondary. There's old versus young. There is, you know, coming down to Atlanta, return for McVay. There's a bunch of storylines. What for you is kind of the biggest storyline in this game that you think will have a big factor on the outcome?
The storyline I would go with, which I don't think is an X's and O's thing or will affect the outcome. Well, it might. But I do think that what you touched on is, can the young guard keep up with the massive incumbents, and can they knock off Goliath? And, you know, these franchises are so different over the last 10 years, and finally things are skyrocketing upward for the Rams, where the Patriots have been obviously the kings of the league for a long time. And I wonder, you know, how does that affect it on the field? I mean, in terms of crunch time, if this comes down to a last minute play, or what worries me more from a Rams perspective, and we saw this with both these teams last week, was how do they start the game? You know, really both teams on the road, really nasty environments. One of them handled it extremely well, I mean, in the first quarter or so, and the Rams didn't. And you would think there'll be a lot more butterflies for LA.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Coming out of the gate is going to be important for us because we really didn't do it even in our first playoff game against Dallas. You know, they went up on us right away and we kind of fought back into that and kind of put some points in consecutive fashion back up to take the lead. But yeah, starting hot is going to be big, obviously on a neutral site. You know, that no real home field advantage, you should say. I mean, it's going to be interesting to kind of follow this game and see who the crowd does start to go for. Even watching that 2001 Super Bowl with the Patriots and the Rams, and they were talking about how earlier it was all Rams support, and then near the end, as the game started going, they started going and getting excited about the game. It's interesting kind of factor that you have playing on this, you know, neutral site here. And I guess kind of one little question to go with that is talking about the experience, you know, of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. They're kind of playing this underdog role, you know, at their press conference before, you know, their send off. It was, you know, Tom Brady chanting, "We're still here." Do you buy into this underdog thing they're trying to play? And will it have, you know, will it play into their role in the game?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's so odd to call, like I said, the big bad wolf, the underdog. And Vegas doesn't seem to think that they are quite as much as everyone originally thought. I'm not buying that at all. I mean, any motivation is great. I know Brady's the ultimate competitor, and he's probably looking for any angle he can possibly get. And him and Belichick have a great pulse of their team. And if they think the young dudes on the team will respond better to thinking they're the dog, then great. You know, we saw the Eagles make that run last year with the same mentality. But I don't think Brady's looking at it like, boy, I hope I can keep up with these guys.
right. And I love the try, right? You know, you love the old wily vet trying to, you know, dig up something to get them going and off and running. But, you know, as we kind of keep on the side of Tom Brady and that offense, You know, looking at, you know, even listening to your podcast over the last week, you know, you talked about the Rams and what they do best, which is interior pressure with Aaron Donalds and Dompkins, who's been playing out of his mind. How do you see that matchup really playing out through the game, that D-line of the Rams versus the O-line of, you know, the New England Patriots? How do you see that playing into the game and how the Rams can take advantage of that?
Yeah, that might be the biggest thing because, hey, I'm a Pitt guy. Aaron Donald went to high school close by. I mean, I'm the biggest Aaron Donald supporter you'll ever find. He's clearly the best defensive player in the league. So you would think on paper that that's exactly the last type of team. And then you throw Sue in, and Brockers is no joke either. The last type of team that Brady would want to see. And I do think that's true. Don't get me wrong. But the Patriots lately have just found their stride in protection, in getting the ball out, in neutralizing Chris Jones and Bosa and Houston and Ford. And every star they run into, they have not let beat them. So I have no doubt in my mind that they're going to spend 2 weeks saying, okay, if Michael Brockers gets a sack or two, fine. I mean, they're not going to let Donald beat them. I know that as a fact. But is he great enough to do it anyways? You know what I mean?
Right.
He might be. I mean, if anyone in the league can overcome the schematic favoring his way, I would think it's Donald. And we've seen Sue step up in the last couple weeks too, and I would imagine he'll bring his A game. But Brady hasn't taken a sack in the postseason, despite, you know, playing a lot of snaps thus far. And I think he has 5 since their week 11 bye. Like, it just comes out too quick.
Right, right. And that's the number one thing everyone is always, you know, harping on in the quarterback room is, you know, get the ball out under 2 seconds. And if you can do that, 2.5, sure, I think, is the magical number for most quarterbacks. And they've been doing a really good job. I think where Aaron Donald, you've even seen in his stats, a lot of his big plays come in that fourth quarter. And I think it just goes with the kind of wearing down of a quarterback mentality, the offensive line. He's getting there faster. He's trying to push the ball down the field further. But again, this is Tom Brady, not your average quarterback. So hopefully, you know, that's something that can play a part, and maybe, you know, we'll see how that kind of plays out. And I guess with that, you know, kind of the last question for
real quick, I just want to throw one thing at
you. Yeah, go ahead.
You mentioned the wearing down factor, and I do think that's important because it's very much part of what the Patriots do to teams nowadays. I mean, you look at the Chiefs in overtime, they were done. You know, that was, you know, you got big physical offensive line, fullbacks, Gronkowski's like an extra tackle. They wear defenses down and slow pass rush as the game goes on.
Right, and that's why Aaron Donald's going to need some help, because I think he's the one guy on that D-line that, in a weird way, one guy in the NFL that just doesn't seem to wear down. He actually goes the other way. He kind of cranks it up further in the fourth quarter, but he's going to need more than just him, because you talked about it. The Patriots can do things to, you know, kind of slow him down, double team him, triple team him at times, send a running back to chip him, you know, so they're going to need some other guys to really step in and keep that same energy with him, because, you know, like you said, maybe he's able to do it by himself and just kind of blow all our minds with his talent. But he's going to need some help, and that's going to come from guys like you said, Brockers and Sue, and even Fowler off the edge, going to help create some pressure for Tom Brady to kind of get it off faster. If you look back to that AFC championship game last year, Fowler had 2 sacks, I believe a strip in that game or caused an interception. So he kind of knows, you know, playing Tom Brady pretty well. He's got a history with
him. A lot to play for.
Yeah, a lot to play for, exactly.
Right.
So, you know, kind of to wrap it up with the offense on Tom Brady's side here, as far as looking at this, a bigger threat to the Rams, do you think it's the Patriots run game or the Patriots pass game?
Run game, but they're the definition of balance too. You know, like, I thought Kansas City just didn't have an answer. Like, you would see heavier personnel come out there, and then Brady would throw it to Edelman or White or Gronk or whoever. And when anytime they'd go lighter, they got beat up with a physical line like we talked about. So I do think it's a run game, just because I think the Rams are better against the pass than the run, although they'd look pretty good against the run against Dallas. There's no doubt about that. But I think a key in that regard that Belichick will try to do is keep the Rams in base personnel on defense. And therefore, you're going to see a lot of Devlin, as you always do. He plays almost 50% of the snaps. But I think they'll live out of 21, 12 personnel and keep the Rams in their base. And why I say that is because I think that their linebackers can be exposed a little bit, especially in the middle of the field. And I think you can possibly wear them down with that heavier personnel. But I think Wade Phillips' blitz packages aren't nearly as effective either out of base.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think us here in Rams Nation are always begging for Wade. He's, you know, you always talk about him at the halftime as this mastermind of making adjustments and coming out stronger. We saw the Rams play a lot better in the second half of games than they did in the first half of games. But we've kind of been begging for more of those blitz packages, something a little more creative to throw some of these people off. It's not really his style. He does like putting people in position to make plays, and he does trust on, you know, guys up front to make a lot of the noise. So I do agree with you there. The run D is going to be interesting. Obviously, we've only allowed 49 yards rushing per game in the playoffs, but this is a team that allowed 5 yards a rush in the regular season. So it's kind of who's going to show up. Hopefully it's a team that has kind of been more steady in the playoffs here against the rush. But again, you talked about the way that the Patriots can counter that in their personnel. And then they also have three backs. You know, they've got Sony Michel, who is more your ground and pound. They've also got White, who's back there, who they run with occasionally, but mostly use him as a pass catcher. And then Burkhardt is, you know, obviously in the last game was a big part of finishing off some of those drives. And he has a little bit of both of that. So I think the Rams is also going to have to really try to, you know, one, figure out who's back there. And then two, try to really play to the tendencies of what they know and not get caught up, though, in just going, oh, it's White, it's going to be a pass now. And kind of, you know, falling into that trap that Bill Belichick's probably been setting this up all year for this moment to kind of come and throw that last minute thing in. So good stuff. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside. We're going to get a couple breaks. We're going to get a couple words from some of our sponsors. We'll be right back on the other side. Matt Williamson, Locked On Rams Tuesday, right after this. I'm counting my bullets. I'm loading my clips. I'm writing down names. I'm making a list. I'm checking it twice and I'm getting them hit. The real ones been dying. The fake ones is lit. The game is off balance. I'm back on my shit. The Bentley is dirty. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. But the truth is, I don't always know who's going to win. Well, except for this weekend, it's probably the Rams. But if you think you know as well, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they are the best bet this season. They've been in business for years. They've got awesome reviews. Their mobile site is super easy. Lay down some cash and win big today. Remember, they do in-game live betting. If you've checked out their Super Bowl odds, they have got all the props you can imagine. Announcer props, pregame props. How long is the anthem going to go? What color is Gatorade's going to be thrown over the coach at the end? They've got so many fun things. The live betting is a bunch of fun. The most rewarding player perks in the business. Plus, for you fantasy guys out there, they even bet the over-under on fantasy points per player. Join now at MyBookie, and they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when you're creating your account to claim your bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Go Rams. Counting my bullets, I'm loading my clips, I'm writing down names, I'm making a list, I'm checking it twice and I'm getting them hit. The real ones been dying, the fake ones is lit. The game is off balance, I'm back on my shit. The Bentley is dirty, my sneakers is dirty, but that's how I like it. You all on my dick. I just poured something in my cup. I've been wanting something I can feel. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Third and final segment. We have got a special guest, Matt Williamson, on from Locked On NFL. Guys, you got to go check him out. He puts up amazing content, has awesome guests. You can find him on Twitter, at WilliamsonNFL, posting all his shows up there as well. So we appreciate Matt joining us. And as we kind of flipped to the other side of the ball, we start talking about, you know, we kind of were talking about inexperience versus experience. Well, now looking at the inexperience side of it, you know, Jared Goff, one of the youngest quarterbacks to make it to the NFL. I think he's the youngest quarterback to win an NFC championship game. If Sean McVay wins this game, youngest coach to ever win the Super Bowl. You know, looking at this and how they've game planned all year, and it almost was Todd Gurley and nobody else. And then all of a sudden, like we've been talking lately was, as we've had chats, CJ Anderson has really come into the mix. If you think about this coming into the game, who do you think is going to have more overall touches? So not just runs, but overall touches, CJ Anderson or Todd Gurley?
I think Gurley, but maybe I'm operating under the assumption that the week off helps and that he really is healthier than he's looked. They did, for those, I mean, your audience might not know this, but mine, or might know this, but mine doesn't. They played about the equal amount of snaps. They didn't get equal touches, but they were on the field about the same amount. That indicates that maybe he is, you know, somewhat healthy, but to play Anderson over him, to me, and Gurley never made a stink about it, makes me think that he is hurting, and it's going to come out after the season that Gurley got a scope or something, you know, that he was playing through something all along. But it is a week off, and I think that could help a guy like Gurley and some of the older dudes like Gronk as well. I'm going to go with Gurley, but I don't feel strongly about it because I really hate guessing about medical.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think he's a little bit healthier than I think everyone else thinks he is. I really honestly think he just played pretty crappy. And mm-hmm. CJ Anderson, the way that he was just cutting and moving upfield compared to Todd Gurley and his four carries, but it kind of seemed to be a little dancey. You know, he missed the first couple passes thrown his way. One went for an interception. You talked about that, the snap count. It was percentage-wise, they were only a few points apart, but Todd Gurley only played 32 of 67 snaps. That's the lowest snap total in the Sean McVay era with Todd Gurley. Only 2 years of data there, but wow. Still, to kind of look at it, right. In the biggest game out there, he played the least amount of snaps he's ever done, so I expect a heavier dose. I think Sean McVay's talked about it throughout the week about how I've got to get him the ball. He can't make plays for us if he only has four touches. I think it's an interesting kind of over under look at that between those two, because I think they do want to keep pounding CJ Anderson because he can wear down that defense, kind of like we were talking on the other side of the ball. He's a big guy to tackle. I mean, that's a bowling ball you're trying to bring to the ground. So he falls forward 2 yards every time. So I will kind of expect a big mix, but I would hope that Todd Gurley, being that he just got this massive contract, being that he is the face of the franchise, and being that he had a great season until he did get kind of banged up, that he's kind of earned the right to kind of carry the ball and you know, have that chance to, you know, go for a Super Bowl MVP if all things fall into place. So another thing that kind of, you know, I'm curious about.
Real quick on that before we go forward. I just wanted to mention, I do think there is something to running backs with fresh legs late in the year. You know, he hardly got used at all in Carolina. You see that every year, that somebody that's a good player has fresher legs than his counterparts. I think there's something to be said to that. But I also think that attacking from that position, I just think you need more receiving skills, which lends itself more to Gurley, especially in this matchup. I think he could do well against those linebackers as a pass catcher.
Oh, I totally agree. And you talk about coming out of the backfield, catching, you know, Jared Goff in this game. He's used him all year long on kind of those quick dump offs. Let me throw it 3 yards and you take it 10. I think in a big game like this where, you know, they may be trying to put some extra pressure on Jared being the first time in a Super Bowl, try to throw him some different looks. He's going to need as many safety outlets as possible, whether that's Higby or Everett or Todd Gurley. But those quick passes are going to be important for him, too. So I definitely agree with that as far as getting him in there. And I'd like to see him and CJ Anderson worked in the same huddle together, you know, come in and really
hey, 2 weeks to figure it out.
Exactly. Bill Belichick's got to figure out, you know, we've never seen there's absolutely no tape on them working together. So obviously, you know, football and you can kind of put together some stuff on the fly, but you never seen it from the Rams. So I would love for, you know, like you said, 2 weeks he's had to kind of game plan this. Hopefully we see a couple wrinkles in that offense, work them in together. And then also in and out of a drive. I always saw in that playoff game for the Rams that they would just go with a CJ Anderson for a drive, but it was 10 plays and Todd Gurley just sat there getting cold on the sideline. I'd like to see him kind of mix them in and out during the drive and not so much kind of say, hey, this is CJ's drive, that's Todd's drive. I think that's also where Todd kind of missed out on some opportunities, is it kind of seemed like it was CJ's drive, but just happened to be the longer drives in that second half. So we'll see how they can kind of mix that up. And as we kind of talked about the experience factor, I'm going to kind of hit you with a true or false, and I want you to kind of talk to me about what your thoughts are about it. True or false, inexperience on the Rams side will play a factor in this game.
True. And I think that could be I think they'll end up playing from behind early in the game, and that'll be hard to overcome.
Okay, fair enough. And it's always going to be interesting to see kind of how these guys play. And I think I love, people always talk about Jared Goff, and I talk about it too, is he's kind of a, it's kind of a boring interview. He's kind of not a very fun press conference from Jared Goff. And when he gets a big touchdown, there's not a bunch of emotion. When he throws a big interception, not a bunch of emotion. But that kind of lends, you know, to this type of game, that he's not going to get overly excited or overly down. Even looking back at that NFC Championship game, when you talked about as we're down 13-0, and he's, you know, kind of just said, all right, well, let's just go. And, you know, maybe there's not a whole lot of energy in that huddle, but that's why we have a lot of those other veteran guys to kind of get it going. But him being able to kind of keep calm, I think, will lend in his inexperience to this. And then I guess, you know, we always talk about the cliche of three phases of football. If you start to look at that third phase, and we've talked offense, talked defense, third phase of football, special teams, where do you think, who gets the edge in that, and what could be, you know, kind of play a part as a big factor in this game?
Yeah, I think special teams is important because these are two of the top teams in terms of stressing it year after year. I always tell my listeners, I don't watch special teams tape. I don't have that kind of time, but I defer to Football Outsiders. And they always say the Ravens and the Patriots are always at the top of the league year after year. And they're the only two teams that qualify for that. Although this has been a down year for the Patriots in that regard. And I do think the Rams are always very good in that regard, too. Two excellent specialists. I mean, two great kickers. I would think that Belichick doesn't fall for a fake punt, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that flies in this situation. But I do think the intangibles have to go to the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the fake punt, I think that's why it worked in the NFC Championship. I actually can't believe it worked in the NFC Championship game, to be honest.
Right.
Because
right. I can't believe it still works. Right?
At this point, you know, Johnny Hecker, I think I saw, has 12 completed passes in his career. 11 have gone for first downs, and a lot have come in the past 3-4 years. So I don't know why at a big game, big moment, maybe you wouldn't have a couple extra safety nets. And but hey, you're right. I don't think it flies in this game. I think, you know, they kind of pulled that card last game to get here. Maybe it's a fake field goal this time. Johnny Hecker stills the holder. You never know. But yeah, I think special teams are important. Patriots have always been really good up there. The Rams have really hung their hat on it the past few years. You talked about those two amazing specialists. Greg Zuerlein, obviously one of the reasons we're here, looking at his performances, you know, in the playoffs and even in the regular season. And Johnny Hecker, I mean, he had actually one of his worst punts of the year was in the Dallas Cowboys game. But other than that, he's been pretty much on point and can kind of pull out that trick play occasionally. I think what we will see in this game, though, I bet we see Johnny Hecker run to the line and do a fake punt where he's going to try to draw you offsides. They do that a lot when they've kind of set it up in previous games. So if maybe there's a way that we get someone to jump offsides, which Bill Belichick will then go livid. But yeah, I don't think I'm with you. I don't think any fake punts in this one. And then kind of to kind of wrap this up and looking at both sides, you know, the MVP talk is always in play here. So, you know, no rules on this as far as, you know, when you're kind of breaking this down. But maybe give me an MVP candidate, maybe a dark horse, maybe one from each team, however you feel, you know, see fit. But talk about maybe an MVP candidate coming out of this game.
Yeah, I'm going to reserve that for Friday because I think it'll tell too much of who I'm going to pick.
Fair enough.
I don't know. Do you have any dark horses? I mean, I think something that Belichick's really going to stress with his defense is, much like with Tyreek Hill, we can't get beat over the top. We have to, if Gurley dinks and dunks us, and they have to sustain long drives. But if Cooks gets loose for one or two against his old team, maybe he's a dark horse candidate. I also think he's really going to stress, you know, we have to be better against play action. I don't know. That's a tough secondary. I'm having a hard time coming up with Rams offensive sleepers outside of Cooks. Could it be a Donald? I mean, if it's Donald, that's who you want to be MVP.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? If Donald's MVP, then our first topic and the most crucial thing to me went in the Rams' favor.
Right. Yeah, I think a couple of my dark horses, and I don't even know if it's really a dark horse. Excuse me. I don't know if it's really a dark horse since we just kind of talked about him being a part of the game plan. CJ Anderson, if he ends up being the go-to running back in this game, punches in a couple from inside the one or two and has two touchdowns and the Rams win, you know, he could find himself in that dark horse category for MVP. And then on the defense side of the ball for the Rams, you know, there's guys, one that I said even yesterday, he's, and I was corrected here, but he's a plus 10,000 as far as on the odds, and that's Corey Littleton, you know, linebacker, a guy that stacks up a lot of tackles. So if he has a great game and puts up 10, 12, 15 tackles in this game and somehow picks off Tom Brady and makes some big closing statement, you can see a defensive player kind of come in if there hasn't been, you know, a Jared Goff going off or someone else kind of putting up big numbers. So I got him. And then John Johnson III made the big interception in the NFC Championship game. I think he's another guy that, just like Tlaib and Peters, one of those guys that when they get the ball in their hands, they could go six the other way. They are that talented athletically. So he is kind of another dark horse. He's a fan favorite out here and one that I've really enjoyed watching. So those would kind of be my two dark horses, with maybe CJ being the, you know, the other quote unquote dark horse. But yeah, it's pretty interesting that I love all the MyBookie you know, MVP and the prop bets and all that stuff. We're going to talk about that further on the show this week. But MVP one is always fun because the odds are, you know, if you get one of those random guys, you get some pretty good odds.
I love the Littleton call, because if they do get some interior pass rush and, you know, a ball gets tipped, I mean, he may end up with the ball in his hands, and you know that they're going to attack the middle of the field with Edelman and Gronk. If he gets his hands on a ball or two, he's going to make tackles. I think that's a great call. I'll put a buck on that at those odds.
The odds on some of those guys back there are pretty high. So, well, Matt, I appreciate it so much, guys. Make sure, guys.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, go check them out at Williamson NFL on Twitter. Locked On NFL is the podcast. Again, amazing hosts, amazing guests throughout the week. So check them out. I'll be on there hopefully for another Victory Monday after the Super Bowl, talking about how awesome these Rams were. But we'll be in touch. We'll talk throughout the offseason. And, you know, I appreciate it. And we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, man. This was fun.
I'm counting my bullets, I'm loading my clips, I'm writing down names, I'm making a list, I'm checking it twice and I'm getting them hit. The real ones been dying, the fake ones is lit, the game is off balance, I'm back on my shit, the Bentley is dirty, my sneakers is dirty, but that's how I like it.